A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. O stupid Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? I want to learn only this from you. Did you receive the Spirit from works of the law, or from faith in what you heard? Are you so stupid after beginning with the Spirit, are you now ending with the flesh? Did you experience so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does then the one who supplies the Spirit to you and works mighty deeds among you do so from works of the law or from faith in what you heard? Verbum Domini. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam. Jesus said to his disciples, suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Verbum Domini. Our thoughts and our prayers especially go out to the people of Florida suffering the hurricane Milton last night, as well as the tornadoes that spawned from that. And we pray especially for the recovery efforts there, as well as the continuing efforts in North Carolina and all the suffering that they have endured as well. And last week I received a letter from a lady in Louisiana, and they are quite familiar with hurricanes there. And they have a devotion to Our Lady of Prompt Succor, Our Lady of Swift Help. And there's a shrine in New Orleans, but this lady said that they have a statue also in their parish in Lydia, Louisiana, that was blessed at that shrine. And she said at the end of every rosary, they pray the rosary before the Mass, they always conclude with, Our Lady of Prompt Succor, make haste to help us. And then they pray the Subtuum, the ancient prayer to Our Lady. But she also sent me a prayer to Our Lady of Prompt Succor, and I thought that we could pray that for the Lord's mercy on us, that we will have no more of these horrible storms and things, that he would have mercy upon us. So this is a short version of the prayer. Our Father in heaven, through the intercession of Our Lady of Prompt Succor, spare us during this hurricane season from all harm. Protect us and our homes from all disasters of nature. Our Lady of Prompt Succor, hasten to help us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. I also wanted to mention, you know, one of the reasons I believe that God has raised up this network is to unite people in prayer. And we have the rosary airing 4 times a day. We have, of course, a televised Mass live at this time at 7 a.m. Central Time, and then it re-airs during the day. And many other devotions, St. Michael Chaplet and Divine Mercy Chaplet. And I'd like to encourage you to join us in some live devotions that we're going to be having in the next few days. So tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, I invite you to join us for the Worldwide Children's Holy Hour. So we're going to have the beautiful children, 2nd through 5th grade, at St. Rose Academy here in Birmingham, together with the sisters and some of their parents, teachers. And we're going to have this Holy Hour live at 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern. So to join us in this praying of the rosary, there's also prayers to Our Lady of Fatima. We remember the anniversary of the final apparition to the children on October 13th. But we're going to have this Holy Hour on Friday, so tomorrow, join us, 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern. And of course, we know our nation, too, is preparing for national elections. And so we'd like you to join us, too, in praying to Our Lady in a special novena that we're going to have from Sunday, October 27th until Monday, November 4th, the day before the national elections. We're going to be having a novena to Our Lady, praying the rosary live shortly after the live televised Mass. So again, that will be October 27th. Through November 4th, and you can find all of the materials there if you go to ewtn.com/novena. And in Spanish, ewtn.com/es-novena. So I encourage you to join us. We're all in this together, and this network's here so that we can pray together, especially at this critical time. Let's ask Our Lady to help us. You know, things like the devastation of hurricanes and storms remind us, as we say and pray in the Hail, Holy Queen, that we live in a valley of tears many times, but also that Our Lady is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. And she does bring us sweetness, even in the tears that we shed. And there was a beautiful article in the Register, actually a blog by Teresa Rodriguez. And she worked with hospice patients, so people at the end of their lives. And she has this inspiration to not only help them physically, but to help them spiritually at this time. And so she began these rosary teams that would go into nursing homes. And their goal is to have these rosary teams going to all the nursing homes, not only in the United States, but even beyond that. And so she wrote this article about one of the men that she was affected by this rosary team going into his nursing home, and here's a picture of him. And his name is Dan Cummings from Ennis, Montana. And the title of the article, Rosary Converts 80-Year-Old Cowboy. Rosary Converts 80-Year-Old Cowboy. So he had fallen away from the church 40 years ago. And so he's there, and this rosary team comes in. He thought, well, it wouldn't hurt just to go to the rosary once. So he joined, and it had such a beautiful effect in him that he was talking to the volunteers who were leading the rosary, and he said that he's lost track of religion. Well, they said to him, well, you should return to confession. You should return to the sacraments. And so he met with the priest, and he was restored back to God's grace and continues now to receive the sacraments. But here's what Dan Cummings had to say. It changed my whole outlook on life. I have peace now and am much happier. I'm 80 years old, and before, all I had to look forward to was quitting breathing. Now I have peace. I can't really explain it. Living in a nursing home is pretty confining. And I couldn't believe how good praying the rosary made me feel. He said, really, there were two great miracles in his life. One, when he survived a near-death experience after a surgery. And the second was this, returning back to our Lord. The rosary was that which got it started, right? Our Lady is always involved in our returning to the Lord. That's where she leads us, always to Jesus. And Teresa wrote in here, the rosary is a transformative experience, lifting one out of personal struggles, like these natural disasters or other things that are going on, lifting us out of those personal struggles to focus on something much bigger, eternal salvation, our life with God forever. So there are tears in this life, but God has prepared a place for us where there are no more tears. And it's interesting that in today's gospel parable that Jesus tells, it's at midnight, it's dark. And we can think of that not only in a literal sense, but in a spiritual sense too. When we're going through trials, when we're having these terrible natural disasters, it's midnight, it's dark. And yet we know where we are to go. This friend knows where he can get what he needs. And so he goes to a friend. Well, who's our friend? Our Lord. I call you friends. And Mary always is that sweetness that brings us to him all closer, all the closer. His daughter, Karina, said this of her father, "Dad's return to the church is a testament to the enduring power of faith and the comfort it can bring, no matter where life's journey has taken us, no matter the difficulties. Our faith is always there. It does bring us comfort, even in our tears. And we can see, even in these terrible events, that there can be a springing forth of charity from people's hearts, helping one another, consoling one another. And that charity, where does it come from? It comes from God. And praying that rosary in this month of October, joining us tomorrow, if you will, or the Rosary Novena, is a way in which that love of God grows in our hearts as we contemplate the mysteries of our Lord's life. You know, I was recently in Iowa for the Christ Our Life event in Des Moines, and it was a wonderful event. I called it a mini national Eucharistic revival in Des Moines. It had many of the same elements, wonderful speakers, and a time of adoration, and some beautiful singing and music. And wonderful speakers. I got to hear three of the talks, and I got to meet so many of our viewers there in Iowa, my fellow Iowans. Got to go to a corn maze with Brother Leo as well. But some of the priests said to me they were really looking forward to hearing Father Robert Spitzer's talk. That was the one they really wanted to hear. He was one of the last speakers on Sunday. And I had a chance to be able to sit in that talk too, and it was really awesome because he has so many different details, and he really does bring together faith and reason, as his Father Spitzer's universe does so well. And so what he talked about in that address that he gave was the science behind the confirmation that the Shroud of Turin is indeed the burial cloth of Christ, which he believes it is. I believe it is. And he gave many convincing reasons. And when we think about today's first reading from the letter to the Galatians, what does St. Paul say? Well, they're going over, there are some that have convinced them, you've got to observe the Mosaic law. You've got to do all these things that were required by the Mosaic law. And that's why St. Paul says this remark, "Oh, stupid Galatians, who has bewitched you?" But then what does he say? "Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." So these were some of the first areas that he evangelized during his missionary journeys in modern-day Turkey. "Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." In other words, you've lost your course. If you remember this, and he painted a picture of them in his words, of what happened to our Lord, how that is the reason for our redemption, what he accomplished on his cross and his glorious resurrection. That's the reason for our redemption. It's not going back to observing all of these stipulations of the Mosaic law. No, it's Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead. This is the reason for our hope, for our salvation, for our redemption. And Father Spitzer, in his address, he said that he believes that the modern science is really putting before the eyes of people today in our unbelieving scientific world, Jesus crucified and risen from the dead. I encourage you to go to magiscenter.com, his website, where he's got many wonderful articles, more details than I could go through this morning, which he gave in this talk. There's so many reasons and confirmations. Of course, this is not essential for our faith, but it is something that confirms the truth of our faith. It portrays everything that the Gospels tell us about Jesus, what Paul was preaching. I portrayed him to you. I portrayed his crucifixion to you. And that's so evident there. So Magis Center, M-A-G-I-S Center, magiscenter.com. You can find all of the scientific basis. And he goes into the whole carbon-14 dating and why most scientists and scholars consider this test worthless today. And modern tests that have been done in 2013 that modern scientists have confirmed at some reputed universities in Padua, Bologna, Medina, Edin, Parma, and London. So check that out, that it might strengthen you too. Because the shroud portrays a man who's not twisted from agony, but a man who has a serenity even in his pain and all that he endured. And it's also a testimony that that was not the end of the story. How did the image get there? Well, Father has a very good theory, I believe, about how that image was given, this intense burst of energy from the body within, leaving that image on the shroud. So, my dear people, during this month of the Rosary, in this valley of tears, we have one who's our life, our sweetness, and our hope, who has told us again and again, in her apparitions at Fatima, for example, to pray the Rosary, the profound effect that it can have. Let us find comfort as this 80-year-old cowboy did in Our Lady's heart, who always leads us closer to Jesus, who suffered, died, and was buried, but rose again.